Bob's fable, but most of what, and I look around and see about it, most of us in here grew up with Aesop's fables. They were the fairy tales that were told and that kind of thing as you were growing up. When we would go to the library in grade school, our librarian would have little slides. And back then, yeah, I can remember, it wouldn't video. It was just a little slide that they would put up on a board there through a projector. And then she would read the stories, you know, and make them interesting, change her voice and all that. But right now I want to tell you about one that I believe came from the Bible. We'll look here in a minute. But how many has ever heard of the grasshopper and the ants? It's a few of you here, just two or three of you. Okay. Well, the story goes this way, that it was in the summertime, and this grasshopper, he was kind of lazy, and he was just laid back, and he's just sitting there eating the grass and just kind of playing, got it made, you know, talking about how he had it made and everything was good. And he saw some ants all lined up in a big row, and every one of them was carrying something that was almost too big for them to carry. And he was curious, and so he goes over and he looks at them and he says, "What are you guys doing?" And they said, we're gathering food for the winter. And he just laughed at him. The winter, he said, it's just now springtime. And so he goes back to playing, doing his thing, you know. And a little later on in the year, you know, he's just walking around and he sees the ants again. And there they are again. He said, "What are you guys doing now?" They said, we're carrying food for the winter. And he said, "Man, it's summertime. You guys ought to be playing and having a good time, enjoying this beautiful weather." And so it goes on and they're carrying the food, and then all of a sudden it gets up into the fall time and the leaves are starting to fall off the trees and the ants are coming through again. He sees the ants again and he says, you're still at it? And they said, "Yeah, it's almost winter, and when it starts snowing in winter, we're going to have our food." He said, "You better get you some food up before winter." He's like, "I'll worry about winter when winter gets here." And so as the story goes, it goes on, and all of a sudden it starts to snow. And then when it snows a big snow. And here's the grasshopper out in the snow trying to find something to eat, but it's all covered up in the deep snow. He's cold. He's hungry. He's about to die. And he thinks about the ants. And so he makes his way and finally makes his way over to the ants. When he makes his way to the ants, he's just about gone. And they get a hold of him and they get him into their house and they feed him and take care of him that winter and keep him alive that winter. And so the moral of the story is this: you have to prepare for the future. If not, you'll die. Amen. See, he learned a good lesson that year. The following summer, he went out and helped the ants gather up food so they could be taken care of. Now, you say, what in the world has that got to do with the Bible? Well, it's got a lot to do with the Bible, because there's a story in the Bible in Proverbs 6:6 about the same subject. And here's what the Lord said here in Proverbs 6:6 as Solomon was writing here. He says this. He says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Solomon was giving us warning, and again, I believe that when the Aesop's fables, this story was written, I believe this was probably his text that he got this from, you know, that in natural observation too. But here's what Solomon's trying to tell you.
You can't just stay around until something comes upon you. Notice that it all causes liberty, because it's preparing as if what's already come. And you say, "What's going to prepare?" You always have to keep spread for what's not to come. See, notice he said that if you don't, the poverty is going to come upon you. So, what God wants you to have, and you're going to be hungry, and you need, can I tell you something? If you lay around and you don't do the thing that you know you need to do, you can't ever get that house. If I need to do something to do that, I want to do that right now, I'll do that later. And guess what? I'm going to get done right now. Amen. See, that's the thing, but that's what we can't be ready. I'm telling you, my plan is going to pass, just like winter came on the grasshopper. Have us ready for whatever God gives you to do. We have to have us ready.
And you don't get ready just all at once. You have to prepare yourself. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And you have to realize that. And so these stories that I'm trying to get us to look at here, just to kind of show us, I want us to just see that we need to stay prepared at all times. God wants us to be always watching, always waiting, keeping our eyes looking for Him. He's coming back for those that are looking for His appearing. Now, it's real obvious. You can look around right now and you can see all the empty seats. It's a Wednesday night that most people are not looking for His coming. They're too busy doing other things. Things more important than coming to church. Things more important than coming and worshiping God. Amen. You see, and I know that's not real popular, but it's the truth anyway. You see, because we'll always do what we want to do. Come on now. Folks will say, well, I'd like to be there. I wish I didn't. No, you did what you wanted to do. I understand that there's some exception there, but for the most part, we end up doing what we want to do because we'll make time for the things that we really want. Come on now. You know, if you have a kid, have a birthday party. You don't have a birthday party, no matter what you're doing. Right? No matter what's wrong, you want that. Right? Come on now. See, that's how you have to understand. Jesus could come in time. We make sure we're ready. We're ready. We're ready. But there's something we'll just put about, and we need to be ready to do when He puts us to do it. Amen. You can't keep procrastinating all the time. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Verse 1 says, they took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them wise, and five were foolish. They were foolish to their lamps, and took no oil in them. But wise took oil in their vessels with lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And midnight, they were crying, behold, the bridegroom comes, and trimmed the lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, get us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, but in you, that you are ready to them that sell it by yourselves. And when they went in with him to marriage, and the door was shut, afterward came also the other guy, and you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, I want us to just kind of take our time and look at this story because as we look at this, we can see Jesus has given us a parable about being ready for His return. How many believe the Lord's going to return not long? I believe it's going to not be long before He returns. Now, I know others believe different things and whatever, but I believe He's coming soon. Now, here's the thing. We've got to be ready whether He comes now or whether He comes later. You see, with these virgins, all of them took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Every one of them went out to meet the bridegroom. You need to get a hold of that. You know, you have a lot of folks that say that they're children of God, that they're born again, and they're ready to meet Jesus. Amen. There's a lot that says that. Now, here's the thing. The wise took extra oil with them. They took extra oil. Now, all of them had to wait, but when the call came, only the wise were ready. Notice that. All of them went to meet Him, right? All of them had lamps, but the wise, they had oil with them besides their lamps. Now, the moral of this story really is only you can make yourself ready. See, when they tried to buy off the wise virgin, they said, you go buy for yourselves. We've got only enough for us. Here's the thing, church. Every one of us have only enough for us. Each one of us have enough for us. We're not going to get there on somebody else's coattails. We're not going to get there on somebody else's anointing. We have to look out for ourselves and we have to make the decisions for ourselves. We have to be ready for ourselves, not for somebody else. And, you know, we can say we're ready, and everybody, you know, you talk to most people, they say, well, yeah, we're Christians. But you never see any evidence because they're not carrying any extra oil with them. Come on now. These wise virgins, not only did they have lamps, not only did they have a light, but they had an oil to keep their light burning. The foolish virgins had no oil to keep their light burning. I'm sure their lamp was lit when they went out, but when He tarried, all of a sudden now they don't have any oil. They don't have any light, and they're trying to get a light off of somebody else to get oil off of somebody else, and they can't do that because there's only enough for them. You and I got to make sure that we're always keeping oil in our lamp. What I'm saying is this, we need to always keep ourselves stirred up in the Spirit. We need to always be letting our light shine for a world that's lost out there, that's looking for Jesus. Whether they realize it or not, they want and need Jesus in their life. They may act like they don't, they may say they don't, but the truth is they do. They watch your life. They see you. They see the peace in your life. They see what God's doing in your life. And they want that. And you and I have to make sure we keep displaying that to them. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. So you and I got to make sure that we're keeping ourselves prepared, keeping our lights lit. Notice that the Lord Jesus, when the others came after the door was shut, He said, I don't know you. I don't know you. Why didn't He know them? Because they weren't there with their lights. They weren't there with their lamps shining. So He didn't know them. Those that came in with their lamps. The door was shut, and He didn't know them. Then He goes on and He says something very interesting. And He says, take heed for yourselves. Watch out for yourselves, you know, because you don't know what hour the Lord Jesus is coming after the church. And so we got to just always make sure we're ready. When somebody says, are you ready to go to heaven? You ought to be able to just look at them and say, yeah, I'm ready to go to heaven. Of course I am. I'm a born-again child of God. Jump over here with me to Luke chapter 12. Let's look over here at something. Luke chapter 12, verse 29. Luke 12, 29. It says, and seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be you of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms, provide for yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that filleth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning bright, or lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching Himself. Let me say that again. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Again, notice what the Lord Jesus says. He says, you need to be ready whether He comes in the first hour, second hour, third hour. Whenever He comes, we need to make sure that we are ready, we're prepared, have our lamps shining, we have ourselves in the place that we need to be spiritually. How many know sometimes folks can just drift off and get themselves in trouble? Amen. It happens all the time. We need to make sure that we stay sharp so that when we do see somebody that's going off, maybe we can help them. The Bible teaches us if we see somebody in a fault that we're supposed to restore them in the spirit of meekness. But He says, you got to be careful. Watch out for yourself because you could get caught up in the same trap that they're caught in. And so we're to be watching at all times, watching for the Lord Jesus, being in expectation. See, it's easy for us to get into a slump. You can get into a routine. You can get into a routine with your work or with whatever it is you do. And you can get yourself over into a slump to where, you know, Wednesday night, it's real obvious. Folks get to the place, I don't want to have to go tonight. You know, I've got this and I've got, and especially with school. My goodness. Some of you are looking at me funny. It's amazing. We can sit up till 11 or 12 o'clock all summer long and, you know, get up early. But when it comes to school, man, got to be in bed by 9 o'clock. Come on now. You know, Wednesday night, I can't go to church on Wednesday night. I got to get up early in the morning. Well, everybody gets up early in the morning. A lot of people do anyway. I won't say everybody does. Some people like to sleep in. But here's the thing about it. You got to have priorities. If you're going to put God first in your life, if you're going to keep Him active in your life, if you're going to keep yourself ready, then the biggest priority you ought to have is God. I'm going to say that one more time. The biggest priority you ought to have is God. There's a thing going around on Facebook. Church should not be your excuse for staying home and right? Missing everything else ought to be, church ought to be your excuse to miss everything else. Right? Most people will use any excuse to not have to go to church. Come on. Well, see, that makes me question, do they really have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there really a commitment there when you have something that's just earthly, if it's more important than your heavenly Father? Right? You guys are here, so you know what I'm talking about. You see, it's real easy for you to be able to look and see things like that and wonder, You know, because the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit will draw you. I don't know about you, but He draws me. You know, I don't forget that it's Wednesday and it's church night. Right? I've been around folks that say, oh, it is Wednesday, ain't it? Well, you know, you start preparing for Wednesday before Wednesday. I don't know about you guys, but my weekend spent preparing for Sunday. I can do something on Saturday, but most of the time my priority is getting ready for Sunday. And once I'm ready for Sunday, then I'll do something. But see, for most people, whatever they've got to do is the priority. And then, we stayed out to 3 o'clock in the morning. That's awful early to have to get up. I've set up so late. Right? Come on now. Well, see, the priority ought to have been church. You ought to realize if I'm going to set up late, I got to get up early. That's my duty as a child of God, that I'm watching and making sure I'm keeping myself ready. But a lot of folks don't worry about it, you know, and it just, you know, just like the grasshopper and the ants there, you know, it's when we look sometimes, it bothers us when we see the Lord taken lightly. It does me anyway. It bothers me when I see people taking their Christianity lightly and their walk with God lightly, when they don't really care where they attend a meeting or not. Where they don't care whether or not they want to, you know, to help do something in the church or help fund the church or help do things like that. You know, this is the house of God. This is God's house. And if a person's a member here, then it's their house. Amen. You know, I was just thinking about some things, you know, and one of the things you think about is, you know, what do you do to get people interested? And, you know, you have functions and that kind of thing. And folks love functions, but they don't like to help with functions. Amen. You know, sometimes we'll have family night. Somebody says, you know, we ought to have one of these once a month. Why, sure, if you're just going to walk up and have a big time and just walk off and leave the mess. I have one every week. Somebody set it up, take it down, and pay for it. There's the priorities, you see. Getting yourself prepared for the Lord, there's things that we need to do as children of God that we ought to get excited about. When our church is doing things, we ought to get excited about it. When our church is having a visiting minister come in, ought to get excited about it. Come on. Anytime your church is having a function, that's the time to get excited and get yourself and be ready. So when it happens, you bring the anointing with you. You're not going to have a very big service or a very good service when you people comes in thinking, I wish I could have just stayed at home. Come on now. I wish I'd have just stayed at home. I'm so tired. And I understand that Wednesday nights are people working, that kind of, but you've got to shake that off and realize the only reason you get to work is because of God. He's the one that gave you the strength, the energy. He's the one that gave you the job. He's the one providing the finances for you. So, you know, you see people just, you know, taking it lightly or whatever. But, you know, here's the thing. When you and I stay ready, we're going to have the privilege of doing something that Paul did. And if you go with me to 2 Timothy, I'll show you what he did. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, here's what Paul said. Actually, we just back up to verse 6. He says, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." You know what he said? I'm ready. Right? I'm ready to go. It's time for me to go be with the Lord, and I'm ready. A lot of folks can't say that tonight, even though they say they're children of God. because the truth is they're not ready. They're ready to go to a ball game. They're ready to go to a function somewhere. They're ready to go to this, ready to go to a concert, but they're not ready to go to heaven. It's just the truth. You know, hey, there's no use sugarcoating things. You see it, I see it, everybody sees it, even they know it. I've been there. See, so I know what I'm talking about. I know what it's like to have been backslidden and, you know, kind of thinking I had one foot in, one foot out, and the truth was both feet was a long way out. You know, because just talking about the Lord don't mean you have a relationship with Him. Come on, right? Having that relationship and being ready means that you're involved with Him. And so here he goes on. Let me read on some more. He says this, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Notice that. I have kept the faith. If anybody went through everything, it had to be Paul. Then he goes on and says, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. You see, we can say that one of these days, folks, because we are ready. Whether Jesus comes and gets us, or whether we leave by death on this earth, every one of us, because we're staying ready, because we're worshiping the Lord, because we stay faithful to Him, we can say that. We can say, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I'm ready to be offered because I know what's waiting on me. That's what every child of God ought to be able to say, but it's sad that some can't. So here's the thing, and we're going to close because I didn't want us to be too long tonight anyway, but here's the thing. Life is only temporary. And this life is for us to prepare ourselves for eternity. So we better take it seriously. We better stay ready. Because we don't know when the Lord Jesus is going to come and get and take His church home. And we don't know when it's going to be our time to go to glory. So we got to be ready. Can I get an amen from anybody on that? All right, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I ask You to help us, Lord, to see that we need to stay ready. Father, it's not of works. We understand that. It's by Your grace that we're saved. But Father, You also told us, Lord, that as disciples, Father God, we're part of Your army, and as part of Your army, we have to be ready. As part of Your body, we've got to be functioning correctly, and if we're not functioning correctly, then we're causing ourselves to be handicapped. We ask You, Father God, to help us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, Lord, and allow You to be Lord of our life, putting You first in our life and giving You glory for it. And Father, thank You for the wonderful life that You've given us along with our Christianity, and we just bless You and praise You. Thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does anybody need us to pray with you about anything? If you don't need to come up, why don't you just reach up your hands this way?